So let's just review some of the main points that we've discussed, the questions that we have, and some of the, at least the beginnings of the answers. The questions we had, number one, how is it and why is it that there's a power inherent in the month of Shvat to defeat Amalek and protect the Jewish people against Amalek? Shvat was the month that refused the lottery, the Goral of Haman. What's the connection between Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, and the power of our main adversary of Amalek, the Koch of Amalek, which the Gemara attributes to the fact that the Jewish people, our ancestors, had fallen at the sin of Sudasu Nenu Misudasu Losha Russia. How does Tu B'Shvat function or have a power to overcome Amalek and Haman Hipilpur? Second question that we had was, what's the connection between Tu B'Shvat and the Dalet Minim of Chagas Sukkos, specifically the Esrog? And it says in this form that the Esrog, after we fulfill the mitzvah with it, should be preserved by a process of merkachas in order to put it on the table months later on Tu B'Shvat, on Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, and eat it then together with all the other peros. And this has a school of power for a great birth if a woman is pregnant or if a woman is slated to have a difficult birth. The school of power of eating the esrog with which the mitzvah of Dalet Minim was fulfilled, that's going to guarantee a leida berevach v'lo b'tzar. What is the connection between the mitzvah of Esrog and Tu B'Shvat, that we eat the Esrog on Tu B'Shvat? And we saw, furthermore, a prayer that's to be recited on Tu B'Shvat for the sake of God helping us to fulfill the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav Hadas Harov V'Esrog Kitikuna Bizmana on Chagasukos. Our next question was based on Reb Chaim Vital in the name of the Arizal, that the Arizal would eat on Tu B'Shvat many different fruits, and the Achila was directed towards a tikkun to rectify the chait of Adam Arishon, who sinned with the peros ilah, with the fruits of the tree. And even though we should, during the entire course of the year, have in mind that our achilas peros can be a tikkun for the chait of Adam Arishon, but chaviva mitzvah shaita, specifically on the night of Tu B'Shvat, is a skula for tikkun chait eitz hadas. In fact, we said that on Tu B'Shvat there is no need to fast. We don't fast on Tu B'Shvat. We can accomplish the same as we can accomplish during the Yemei Shovavim through a fast day. There's a tikkun here for the chait eitz hadas. We want to know what's the connection here between Tu B'Shvat and achilas peros therein and chait eitz hadas, chait Adam Arishon. We saw in the Rosh, in the Pirush al Torah, that the reason why Adam Arishon was enjoined from eating the eitz hadas is in order for the eitz hadas to serve as a reminder to man of his creator and the responsibility, the yoke that's been placed on man's shoulders to fulfill the will of God, and not to be a gas ruach, not to be conceited and arrogant to think that he can mandate for himself. And man has a natural tendency to desire a certain, shall we say, independence when it comes to moral law, an autonomy of sorts. And to overcome that autonomy, man should be aware constantly of the Eitz Hadas, to remember his creator and be aware of the fact that God will command and man will fulfill God's command. Now, Rashi at the beginning of the Chumash tells us that even before Eitz Hadas, that sin, there was a sin on the part of the Adam of the earth itself. When the earth was commanded, Vayomer Elokim Tatshe Aretz Desha Eitz Pri Yosef Pri Lumino, Rashi says in the name of Chazal, Sheitama Eitz Kitama Pri, The taste of the tree itself, its bark and its branches should be identical with that of the pre, but she, the Adama, did not do so, and rather produced an Eitz Osa pre, but not Eitz pre. And therefore, when man sinned and he was cursed because of his sin, so too the Adama was remembered for its sin, and it too was cursed because of its sin. So we see now a connection between the chait of the Adama in not producing trees that would taste like the fruit, and the chait of Eitz Hadas of Adam HaRishon. There's a connection between the two. We'd like to understand that connection. Now, in terms of the meaning of Esrog, and specifically the Nanuim of Esrog, on Chag HaSukkos we have Rabbeinu Bechai in his commentary in Vayikra, Perakov Beis, Perakov Gimel, when he speaks about Molechu Mevi, that you should shake and point the Esrog and the Dalminim in all the different directions. Milo Ma'o Morid, he puts them up, puts them down. This is in order to symbolically declare the Yichud of Hashem, the unity of God. God is one. There's no different directions here, no different parts. It's all one unity. And this, says the Rabbeinu Bechai, is to counter Adam HaRishon's chet, Adam HaRishon's sins with the Esrog. This is based on the opinion in Chazal that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog tree. And he, Adam HaRishon, took the Esrog alone. We take the Esrog together on Chag HaSukkos with all the other species. And we now do a tikkun for that sin. We do a ritzui, so to speak, appeasing Hashem by declaring God's unity. And Rabbeinu Bechai writes, Kishem shonu meratzim pono bepri eitz hadar shehu hoya hachet kachonu meratzim. So we do this ritzui by taking the esrog together with the dalid minin. And once again, we want to understand what's the connection between the fact that Adam HaRishon's sin was by eating of the esrog, and that the tikkun is now through the dalid minim, including the esrog and the other three minim, on in the nanuim of Chag HaSukkos. And we discussed Rashi and Koheles on the pasuk asher asal kimis Adam yashar vehema bikshu chesbonus rabim. Rashi says that man here in this pasuk in Koheles, Adam, is not just any man, but it's a reference, an allusion to Adam HaRishon, who was created yashar, straight. Straight means that in a very simple way he could be connected and dedicated and loyal to Hashem's tzivui, the mandate of God. But Hema Bikshu Cheshbonus Rabim, Rashi says, Mizimos Umachshavos Shalchet. Man comes with his own initiative, his own schemes, his plans, his thoughts, and that brings him down to the level of sin. It means that fundamentally the source or the root of the chait, of the sin of Adam HaRishon, is that he refuses to accept Hashem's will, bitmimus, in a simple, loyal way, being devoted and dedicated to God's will, but rather he's mevakesh cheshbonos, mezimos, umachshavos shel chait. A similar idea we find in the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, when the Rambam speaks about the fact that any Jew, even if he's not born into Shevet Levi, has the ability to dedicate himself, if he's so moved to do so, if his heart prompts him, Rucho so, Nod Verucho so, and if he understands that he wants to separate himself from the ways of the world in order to stand and dedicate himself, L'shar so, L'yavdo, to serve Hashem, and he goes, B'derech HaYoshar, such a person is Miskadesh Kodesh Kadoshim. He's porek me al tzavaro ol cheshbonos harabim. In other words, the rest of the people, your rank and file person, is busy with cheshbonos rabim. But he, this individual who dedicates himself exclusively to the service of Hashem, is porek me ol of, he casts off his shoulders the ol of cheshbonos. And then we understand very well that according to Rashi and Koheles and the Rambam in Shmita v'Yovel, the chet of Adam HaRishon is that he's going to make his own cheshbonos. He's not going to accept the will of Hashem b'tmimus. Now, Adam HaRishon, before the sin, The Rambam tells us in Mor Nevuchim had a bechira between emes v'sheker, not between tov and ra. In other words, man, before the sin, recognized that evil is an illusion, it doesn't exist, it's not truth, it has no reality whatsoever. He knew, on the other hand, that there is such a thing as ra, and a difference between ra and tov, but for him, knowing that ra is just a fabrication, it's an illusion, it doesn't exist, it's not truth, it's sheker, for him to sin would be like man entering into a fire. But since man knew that there was such a thing as ra, he knew that by eating from the Eitz Hadas, he would possibly be able to conceive and understand what ra is all about, and that maybe evil is, to some extent, a reality. And as the Ramchal says it in Das Tfunas, on the Marishan Isolo Yediyah Odos Yediyas Tovara, he had some vague notion about the fact that there is such a thing as knowing the difference between both Tov and Ra. Man understood that if he were to eat from the Eitz Hadas, through this eating, he would be able to conceive and comprehend of Tov and Ra. And therefore, says the Arizal, man, meaning Adam HaRishon, was interested in what we call a Horash Shah. He thought that he would do an Aver L'shma, which is a phrase that appears in the Gemara in places like Nazir. Meaning that he thought that he could intensify his challenge of Bechira. He could make the Koach HaBechira more profound by, in a sense, lowering himself to the point in which evil would become a reality unto itself. And in so doing, he would be faced by challenges, and he would overcome these challenges for the sake of Lahagdil Kvod Shamayim, Biyomdo B'nisoyim Mitoch Hester Yoser Omok. And man's sin was that he thought that he doesn't have to pay attention and observe the mandate of Hashem because he has his own cheshbonos. And this was the great sin of man. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, "En chochma vein tfuna vein eitza neged Hashem." Man doesn't have the right or the ability to outsmart God and come up with a chochma and a tfuna that beats God's understanding and God's commands. And therefore, what we formulate here in terms of the chet of Adam HaRishon is that the cheshbonus rab and the machshavas of Adam HaRishon, even if they were l'shem shamayim, for some sort of toeles, man thought that if he violates the will of God, it'll be l'toeles, and his service of God would be on a greater and more intense level because of the great challenge. This kind of a service and this kind of machshava has to be batel umavuto, has to be nulled and void, because God gave the tzivui. That's why Chazal and Sanhedrin use a phrase they call Adam HaRishon a min is a heretic. In other words, Chazal understood that the chait of Adam HaRishon is a lack and deficiency in his faith, in his emunah in Hashem. A perfect, complete emunah would certainly lead man to understand and conclude that there's nothing else besides the tzivui of Hashem. And if God commanded man not to do something, he's not allowed to do it. He shouldn't even dream of doing it. God commanded man not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He has to believe in God, and he has to understand that there's nothing else. There is no room for man making his calculations and in an autonomous way deciding what's moral and what's right. But Adam HaRishon refused to do so, and that's called minus. Minus means the scoffer or the disbeliever who questions God. Now, if the root of man's sin is the fact that he's not willing to accept the will of God and the command of God b'tmimus in a simple, straight way, then we can begin to understand the similarity between man's sin and the sin of the Adama. And we said that because of the sin of the Adama and not producing the tree that has the taste of a fruit, Adam HaRishon fell and sinned. The Chizkuni explains at the beginning of Bereishis that Litova Niskavna, the Adama, really had something good in mind. Because if the tree itself would taste like the pre, like the fruit, then ultimately it would be devoured, it would be consumed. I'm not sure if he means by man or by animals. It would be tempting to completely destroy the trees. You know, it's like the endangered species. You know, man wants to take the ivory off the elephants, so the elephants no longer have the tusks, the ivory. Maybe, you know, if you have all the trees in the world are so tasty and attractive, man will eventually, well, maybe the animals will eventually completely consume all the trees. But nevertheless, when man sinned, God remembered the sin of the Adama. Bahadi Kapshirach Manalomali, you don't have the right to outsmart God. You have to go in a very simple way, a tmimistic way, and accept the will of God. So we see that the chait of the Adama, in the case of Pri, Osa Pri, was Biasias Cheshbonos. The Adama made calculations and decided that instead of accepting the will of God, B'tmimus, it's going to outsmart God with its Cheshbonos in order for the sake of Ribui Kvod Shamayim. And now, when man is Nifkedad on his chait, is Nifkedad Damal Cheto, because there is a basic a root or a similar source to both sins. The chait of the Adama and the chait of Adam Arishon, both is e kabolas tvar Hashem b'tvimus, the refusal, the unwillingness on the part of man, on the part of the Adama, to accept the will of God and instead to substitute cheshbonos, that is the sin. And therefore, as a result of the sin of the Adama, man also sinned. Man saw that the Adama changed and violated the will of God and the tzivui of Hashem. And apparently the Adama was not punished for that. And therefore man decided he would follow suit. He would also make his cheshbonos. And therefore we come back to the Rush that we mentioned in Breishis, who says that the reason why Adam HaRishon was enjoined from eating the Eitz Hadas is Kadesh Yizkar's Boro, he should constantly remember his Creator, which, according to Rabbi Abba in the Medrash, that the Eitz Hadas from which man ate and sinned was an Esrog tree, meaning the Esrog is that unique tree that did not in any way violate the will of God. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Hey that the Esrog has Tama Eitz V'Tam HaPri Shavim, that the Eitz itself has the taste of the Esrog. I don't know, maybe that means that the Esrog is not so tasty, but in any event, of all the trees on the face of the earth that were commanded, there was only one tree that lived up to the command of Hashem and produced a Tama Eitz K'Tama Pri. That is the Esrog tree. And if that be the case, that of all the Eitzim in the world, there was only one Eitz, the Esrog tree, that was Mekayim the Tzivi Hashem of Lishomra, then it makes sense now why it was that Netilas Esrog on Chag HaSukkos is a tikkun of the chait of Adam HaRishon. Because Adam HaRishon sinned with the Esrog, and the Esrog is a fruit that symbolizes the Kabbalas Dvar Hashem B'Tmimus, to be dedicated to fulfill God's will in a total way without making any cheshbonos. And when we take this Esrog, we are basically declaring Hashem, the Creator, as our King over all the worlds, over all the Ruchos and all the Shamayim for Aretz. We accept His Malchus. And it's Tomim Tia Meshem Elokecha. That's the exact opposite, the antithesis to Adam HaRishon's failure and his sin. And now we can begin to understand that Chag HaSukkos is designated in a singular way for a tikkun of the chait of Eitz Hadas. And although, according to the Maan D'Yomar, that Sukkos is Keneged Anani HaKavod, we understand fully well the great Simcha of Sukkos as a Yontif, but according to Maan D'Yomar, it says Sukkos Mamish, that the Sukkot that Hashem was Moshe B'nai Yisrael the Midbar were actually physically sukkos, they were huts that provided protection for them. So why do we get all excited about this and dedicate a yontif and a simcha when Klal Yisrael sat in sukkos mamish? And perhaps we could suggest that the yontif is the fact that Klal Yisrael went out into physical sukkos. There were no miraculous sukkos, and they fulfilled the will of God. God said, go out to the Midbar, and that's what they did. In that sense, in that context, yontif of sukkos is unique. It's not like the other yontif, like Pesach and Shavuos. In the case of Pesach, we rejoice in the fact that God did such great Hatov, he gave us such a wonderful Hatzolah. In the case of Shavuos, he gave us the wonderful Torah. On Chag HaSukkos, it's purely our yontif. It's Sasarusa Dilatata, in the sense that it was the Ratzon of the people of Israel to accept the Torah, to enter into Tachas Likonis, Tachas Kanfei Ashkina, and the Jewish people therefore were willing to go out to the desert, the harsh wilderness, without any conditions, without any physical protection. That itself is a yontif. And Rabbeinu Bechai in Parshas Emor says, Das Omer Sukkos Mamish Asulem Itnei Zen Itztavinu Laso Sukkos Kidugmasam Kideshiz Gale V'Yisparseim Mitoch Mitzvah HaSukkah Godol Malosin Shal Yisrael B'Midbar Shayu Holchim Am Kovid Anoshim Nosh V'Tap B'Mokum Ahu Asher Ein B'Teva Adam Lichyos Bo For Hu Hei Shehei Rakosuv Eretz Tzio Shmama Lo Mokum Zera U'Te'enu V'Gefen. The yontif is on the fact of the halicha, the fact that the Jewish people went out to the Midbar, Be'eretz Lo Zrua, the harsh conditions of the Midbar, a place where, according to the law of nature, it's impossible for millions of souls, to men, women, and children to exist, to survive. It's not within the Teva Adam Lech Yospo, but nevertheless, our ancestors went out into the Midbar and they lived in the Sukkos. And if you take a look in the Sefer Avas Chesed and Chelik Beis Perkei, in his first Haggah, on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ko Amar Hashem Zacharti Lo Chesed Nurayach Avas Kulosayach Lechtech Achurai Bamidbar Eretz Lo Zrua, he breaks up this Pasuk into three parts that parallel the three Moadim. Chesed Nurayach corresponds to Chag HaPesach, Kshoho Yisrael B'Mitzrayim Niskabtzu, the Karsu Bris Yachad, Sheyasu Gmilus Chasodim Ze Im Ze, Hainu Shal Yidei Ze Yisorel, Vomalo Chazdu Shal Hashem Yisborach. The Jewish people in Mitzrayim worked one on behalf of the other as a group effort, and therefore Hashem had compassion on them and gave them Chesed, and he was Mavatel Ligzeros of Paro, and that's what happened. The next part of the Pasuk is referring to Kabbalah Satorah. And what is the third part of the Pasuk? Lechtech Achrei Be'eretz Lo Zrua. That's a reference, an allusion to Chag HaSukkos, when the Jewish people went out into the desert. And according to the Mandiyomer Sukkos Mamish, the Yisodas of this Yontif of Sukkos is the great Emunah Bitochon, the reliance upon Hashem, B'tmimus, to go out to an Eretz Lo Zrua and do exactly what Hashem commands them. That is the antithesis, the opposite of the chait of Adam HaRishon. We can begin to understand why the holiday of Sukkos was designated in a singular way as a ritzui for the chait of Adam HaRishon to rectify that sin, because his sin was the fact that he wasn't willing to lelech acharotzen Hashem b'tmimus, but rather he wanted to have cheshbonos. Chag HaSukkos, on the other hand, its entire essence, its pnimius, its substance, and its message is that we were willing to fulfill the will of God without any cheshbonos, simply b'tmimus. We went out to a very dangerous wilderness, lelech acharai b'midbar, and that's the Sukkos mamish. That's the emunah of the faith, and the total dedication to the will of God that we manifested at the time of Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar, going into the Sukkos. And therefore we can understand why the Yafel Alev says that there's a skula to eat the Esrog on Tu B'Shvat, that esrog on which we made the bracha for the mitzvah of Dalet Minim on Chagas Sukkos, a skula for a woman who is in labor and is having trouble, because the klola of Bitsar Tel Dibon Beetziv Tel Dibonim is anchored in the chait of the Eitz Hadas. The esrog is a tikkun for that chait, and therefore it's a special skula to remove that curse of Beetzem Tol Dibonim, and it can help a woman who's having a challenge giving birth. Now, how does this tie into Tu B'Shvat? Why is Tu B'Shvat the specified singular time for this gula to eat the Eitz Hadas tree, the esrog tree, and the esrog that you made the bracha on in Sukkos, and bring about this skula to protect the woman? And the answer is that Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, which is called Tu B'Shvat, is singular. It's different than all other Rosh Hashanahs. The Mishnah at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah has a list of four Rosh Hashanahs. But what's unique about Rosh Hashanah Lilanos is the minog that we don't say Tachnun, there's no Hesped, we look for a new fruit to recite Shechianu. This is all because of the similarity to a tree, that man is compared to a tree. This is a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chaf. The pasuk says, Ki ha'adam eitz hasada, and perhaps the eitz hasada here is an allusion to the eitz of the Gan Eden, the eitz hadas, which Hashem enjoined man from eating. And we saw already that the chet of the Adama, when the Adama didn't produce a tree that had the taste of the fruit, that was something that ultimately brought down man as well. Adam Rishon fell in his sin. The shoresh, the root of this problem is ki Adam eats hasada. Adam is a reference to Adam Rishon, and eats hasada is a reference, an allusion to the chet of Adam Rishon, who wanted to be eitz. He wanted to be similar to the eitz. The eitz sinned by not creating a bark that tasted like the fruit, and that was a shinui, that was a violation of the command of God, an aver l'shma, and man does the same. So Adam eitz hasada means Adam Rishon is like the eitz of creation, in the sense that just like the eitz of creation deviated from the will of God for the purpose of ribui kvod shamayim with all those cheshbonos, so too man, when he ate from the eitz hadas, he too deviated from the will of God for the sake of an aver l'shma. And since the hanhogos hamiyuchados of this day of Tu B'Shvat are a reflection of the connection between Adam and the Eitz Hasada, meaning we're going back to the roots of the chait of Eitz Hadas, therefore this man is mesugal to a tikkun to rectify that sin. So again, the main pasuk that is always to be seen as the remez for all the minhagim of Tu B'Shvat, of Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, is Adam Eitz Hasada, which is a pasuk that specifically refers to the chait of Eitz Hadas. And therefore, on the day of Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, the day of Ki Adam Eitz Hasada, there's a special skula to eat from the esrog for a woman who's having trouble in childbirth, because that's the day that's designated for the tikkun of the chait of Adam Rishon. There's a skula here to remove that klola of Be'etzev Tel Dibonim. And as we explained, Tu B'Shvat therefore is the time of tikkun chait Adam Rishon, because the union of the chait Adam Rishon is not willing, the unwillingness of man, the refusal of man to fulfill the will of God, B'Tmimus, in a very naive and dedicated, loyal way. And therefore, we need to do that tikkun by manifesting a halicha b'tamim. That's the avodas hayom of Tu B'Shvat. That's the chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. That's the pre-Eitz Hadar, the only tree in creation that was totally dedicated to halicha b'tamim. And therefore, we eat from the tree, from the from the Esrog tree that creates Hadar, to demonstrate that we want to be like the Esrog tree, we want to be Holchim B'tomim, and that's what we do on Tu B'Shvat. Now, the Gemara in Chulin asks the question, Haman min HaTorah minayin. Now we want to go back to our original question that what there was some connection between Tu B'Shvat as Rosh Hashanah Lilanos and the protection against the Gzeirah of Haman, the Goral of Haman, the Koach HaRav HaMolek, because the Koach HaRav HaMolek is from the Pasuk HaMina Eitz. In other words, just like man ate from the Eitz Hadas, so too HaMolek is guilty of the same, shall we say, class or type of sin. And the Gra writes in his Yal Or, Lev Yeshlo Tamid Milchama Im Amolek, Shehu HaKoved, Shakoved Miyago Bitavos Hamachal, K'mosh Kosev Medrash HaNel, M'posuk Vayomer Esav, Liyakov Haliteinino, Min Adom Adom Azev, Hu Rosh Etevos, Ula Lashem Amolek. In other words, the reality, the essence of the evil that came into the world as a result of the Chet Adam HaRishon is that same power which later on in history would be manifest by Esav, who's the father, of course, of Amalek. The Shoresh and the Koach HaRa began with the Chet of Eitz Hadas. The Yisod, the foundation and the source and the root of this sin of Eitz Hadas, goes back to the concept of the desire of man to gratify himself and make cheshbonos as to why he should do so, like Klal Yisrael did at the time of Mordechai and Esther. They were nenu mi sudosu shaloso rasha nenu. The tviya against Klal Yisrael is not on the eating, which maybe they had to do because they had to participate in the suda, but nenu, they decided to have hanah. That's the koach of Amalek. And therefore, on Tu B'Shvat, specifically the month of Shvat, is a month of his gabrus al kochu shel Amalek, meaning on Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, the fundamental concept and the central concept is to be metaken the chet eitz hadas, and to fulfill the will of God, not to follow in our own will and our own desires. The koach of Amalek is the sin of Eitz Hadas, and therefore Shvat is not the month for Amalek to destroy the Jewish people. Shvat has an inherent protection insofar as it is a month of Tikkun Chet Eitz Hadas. And we know that the Kriyas HaTorah of the weeks also has an influence on the world itself. The Parshios of Shovavim represent a time that has a skula to come into the Sharei Heichal HaKedusha. Just like we saw in Sfiras HaOmer, it's a time to enter into Kedusha after they left Mitzrayim. They had the 7 weeks to prepare themselves for Kedusha for Matan Torah. So too, when we read the Parshios of the Shtabdus of Klal Yisrael, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, there's also a Koach HaSkula to enter into the Sharei HaHeichal. And that's why the Magen Avraham writes in Orach Chaim Siman Tov Kuf Pei that we read the Parshios of the Shavua, and those Parshios have an impact on what's going to happen in the week to come. And he says, Bayom Shishi, okay, this is very famous, that there was a decree of the back in France over 1,000 years ago to destroy wagon loads, 24 wagon loads of Sfarim, of manuscripts of Torah. And this was hinted at. It happened on a Friday before Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas is the parsha of Zos Chukas HaTorah Da Gzera Da Oraisa. In any event, that part of the Hashpa of the Torah on the Metzius of the world is through the Kriyas HaParsha of that parsha. And therefore, the Zman of Kriyas Parshios Shovavim, the Parshios of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's the Zman, that's the period of time that's Mesugal for Yetziah to leave the Tumah, just like our ancestors left the Tumah. And the Ramchal in his Derech Hashem writes, Kimei Achar cheto shel Adam Arishon nishar hanoshut kulo mekuchal. Chet Adam Arishon had an impact on all of mankind to lower mankind's level, and the ra, the evil now, would overcome man, and man would have to fight the battle of Tov against Ra. And even though Avraham Avinu Olav Hashem was chosen to be, he and his Zera, to be separated from all the Umas HaOlam, but that didn't come about. Lo Haya Lahem Makom Sheyuchu Lischazik Lizbore B'chinas Umas Shlema. They didn't have a designated area, land where they could live and insulate themselves as a nation, as a whole, against all the influences of the other nations, influences of Ra, the Zuama, all of that evil that resulted or was generated by the Chet Adam Arishon. And therefore, according to the Maral, according to the Ramchal, the people of Israel had to be exiled into Mitzrayim, and there they would suffer from the Shibud, and that Shibud, like a Kur HaBarzel, like unrefined gold, which is brought into a certain type of a furnace to purify and remove its impurities. That's the chizuk. That's what have to happen in Mitzrayim. That through the experience of Golas Mitzrayim, the Jewish people would be purified, like the Kur HaBarzel. And when it was time, Hazman Aroy is Chizek Adam Baruch Hu Es Hashpa'aso V'Aroso Al Yisrael Kofes Arab Bifneihem V'Hivdil Oso Mimenu V'Romem Oso Mishiflus and Nimtzu Ge'ulim in Arag Ge'ulas Olam. So God made the decision at the right moment, at the appropriate time, to be Mashpia, to bring light to the Jewish people, to overcome Ra, to overcome evil, to separate the Jewish people and uplift them from the evil. That's called Geulim. They were redeemed from evil, Geulas Olam. And now it makes sense to say that the Tikkun of the days of Shovavim, which are the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which normally would be implemented and experienced through Tainus by fasting on Tu B'Shvat, the same goal is achieved by Achilas Peros. Because since we saw in the Ramchal that Golas Mitzrayim was the completion of the Tikkun of Chet Adam Arishon that began with the Avos HaKadoshim, is during the Yemei Shovavim, there's a certain light, a Meir Oro Shel Tikkun Zeh, and so too on Tu B'Shvat there's a certain Meir Oro, a certain light that will illuminate our lives in a spiritual sense, allow us to be metaking the chait of Adam Arishon in the same way that a fast day would do it during Shovavim. And we've had occasion in the past to mention the Maral Miprag and Gvuras Hashem, that the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Eser Makos, is a recreation of the world. And the Maral Miprag goes into great detail how each one of the Eser Makos corresponds in its own way to the Eser, the Asor Mamorish Bo Nivra Ha'olam. The Arbe is Keneged Totzi Haaretz Eitz Pri Osapri. Ki Arba Zehu Ashchosa B'maimer Zeh Dafka Ki Arba Yoser Miyuchad Mikol Shara Toloim Shumashchis HaPeri. The power of Arbe is specifically to, or first and foremost, primarily to destroy fruits. So the specific goal and power of Arbe is Keneged the Maimer of Totzi Ha'aretz Eitz Pri. The Arbe destroys the Pri. And perhaps we can add the following comment here, that during the time of Makas Arbe, it is absolutely appropriate to be metaken the Eitz Osa Pri. So it's not coincidental that during this time of Tu B'Shvat, we read the Parsha of Arbe, And that's a tikkun for the Eitz HaSapri, which was the cause of the sin of Adam HaRishon. And this is appropriate for Tu B'Shvat, the day that's miyuchad, that's designated for a tikkun of the sin of Adam HaRishon. Now, in the case, again, of Haman, he thought that Adar, since it had, that was the month in which there were Gimel Yimei Afela, and during the 3 days of darkness in Mitzrayim, Mesu, Poshe, Yisrael, in Cain, Uchal Lahem, I too can destroy the Poshe Yisrael on the 3 days of Adar that correspond to the 3 days of Choshech. Uchal Bnei Yisrael Ya'or B'moshvoseihem. Haman somehow overlooked the fact that the Klal Yisrael did not suffer from the Afela. They had Or in Moshvoseihem, and therefore the month of Adar is going to be Goreim LaYehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha. And all this is explained in the Elio Rabban Hilchas Purim Simon Reish Tzadi Gimel, and it becomes clear that Makas Choshech was around Purim time. It overlapped with Purim. And Chazal say that Kol Makas Shahoisa Gimel Shvuos V'Oz Shvuas Ra, each Makas took place, was extended over 3 weeks, and there was a week of mourning. So then Makas Arba was on Tu B'Shvat, a month after Purim. And that's very, very good, very sharp, because it means that the whole purpose of Tu B'Shvat is because Adam is Nimshal Yetz HaSodeh, in which the Eitz HaSodeh violated the will of God in Totsi Aretz Eitz Priosa Prilimino. And this is the time of Makas Arba, which is going to be a punishment for the Eitz HaSapri. And this is the time in which we're masaking that sin. So we'll stop here for now, and we'll wish everyone a great Tu B'Shvat. We should be zochet to eat from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. It should be a great opportunity to be metaken the chet Eitz Hadas. We should dedicate ourselves with loyalty of halicha beretzon Hashem b'tmimus keni ratzon. Amen.